How does the church year teach us the fundamental narratives of salvation's story? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June is Ordering Our Days in His Peace, An Introduction to the Church Year. It's written by regular guest Pastor Heath Curtis. You can check out Ordering Our Days in His Peace at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase our Book of the Month by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Ordering Our Days in His Peace. It is one of the oddest relationships that you find in the Old Testament. You don't usually hear about companionship, friendship very much, but there is one that stands out there in the Old Testament history, that of David and Jonathan. But it's one with its own dangers, its own tensions created by, well, who David was and who David had been called to be and who Jonathan was, who Jonathan's dad was. But it is both help and hindrance to David, and it is a part of the story that is David's life that is really nothing more than God fulfilling his promise of a Savior. It's part of that story and worthy of our study. On this Wednesday afternoon, June the 20th, Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson and to talk about the friendship of David and Jonathan. Pam is editor of Witness, Mercy, Life Together for the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Pam, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. It's great to be back.
Set the context for us. We kind of have to know. These aren't just two random guys. David is significant in his own right. Jonathan has a familial relationship that is of some danger to David, and yet the two men are friends. Set the context for us for this friendship.
Sure. Well, we know Jonathan is the son of the king, of King Saul, and really the rightful heir of the kingdom by human standards and by tradition and everything that anybody would know or expect. David is the one whom the Lord has anointed to be king, and he's the David, the shepherd boy that we talked about last week, who slew the mighty giant Goliath. And he and the king's son, Jonathan, have become friends, deep, dear friends, the kind of friendship that nothing could separate them from. And that friendship is both a blessing, you know, as you say, and also creates problems, especially for Jonathan, the son of the king, because his father, Saul, is beginning to put it all together and realizes that his crown and his kingdom is threatened and that David is the one who will become the king and his son will not. And the father is angry, he's jealous, and he wants to put a stop to it. And he doesn't care that they're friends. He doesn't trust David. He doesn't see the big picture, disregards that it was God who anointed David and has made this plan. And he becomes intent on stopping David, on ending his life, so that he won't get in the way of the crown for his son, Jonathan. And that's at the heart of this whole several texts that we're going to look at this Sunday in Summer Sunday School. And this summer, as we look at vocation, and we're going to talk about this theme of vocation in the context of being a friend and what that is, and looking at the friendship that we have between David and Jonathan, and then looking at ultimately at Christ, who was the friend that no human could ever be, the friend, the Son of God, who gave his life for us. And yet we see a foretaste of that, a not complete example of that in this friendship of David and Jonathan.
Now, someone looking in at the story can certainly understand Saul's concern. Saul's perhaps concerned for his own political position, and as you mentioned there, he would be concerned that his son wouldn't be kind of aced out of what Saul would have certainly considered the rightful inheritance of his son. But the one person who seems the least concerned about all of that is the guy who's in line for the crown, at least in terms of family lineage, and that's Jonathan. He doesn't seem to have any ambitions in that direction. It doesn't seem to hinder his relationship with David in the least. Why isn't he, as we would typically expect him to be, defensive of his own future position?
Well, you know, from a human perspective, it's this deep friendship with David. But he's also, you know, as Saul and David, you know, children of Israel, knowing the promise, knowing what happened, knowing that David was anointed to be king, having witnessed all of these things that David was called to play the lyre for Saul, and how that relieved his father's torments that he had, that David killed Goliath. Jonathan witnessed all these things too, and by the grace of God, instead of being jealous and angry and hateful towards David, his friendship was cemented. They were friends, and that was what was most important to him. And he wasn't seeking the throne; wasn't jealous of that. And in these texts, we see how he goes against his father to protect his friend David, knowing that his father would end David's life if he could.
Now, there's a particular story in that vein from the 20th chapter of 1 Samuel there. I believe it's almost the entire chapter, where it is through this friendship that God is able to preserve David's life over against the threats and really, if he could have carried it out, the not just threats, but the violence that Saul would have done to him. Tell us the story.
Well, that's right. And it's 1 Samuel 20, where David flees, and he has this sense that Saul is after him. And things have happened. Saul's already tried to kill him once, and he says to his friend Jonathan, "What have I done? Why? What's my guilt? Why is he after me?" And Jonathan, at this point, doesn't realize that his father is after him, and he says, "Far from it. You shall not die. My father does nothing, either great or small, without disclosing it to me. And why should my father hide this from me?" And he says, "It's not so." But then David insists, "I know he's after me." And so they come up with this plan to test and see. And so they know that the king is going to, on the new moon, have a meal, and that David will be expected to be at the table with others, with the king, and he's not going to be there. He's going to go into hiding. And if the king should ask where he is, then Jonathan will tell him. He's gone to his hometown of Bethlehem to make a sacrifice for the new moon and try to pass it off that way. And they talked about this and said, well, if the king accepts that, then that's fine. But if he becomes angry, then we'll know where his heart is concerning David. So that's exactly what they do. David goes and hides out in the field and in a place that they had agreed upon. And exactly what David thought would happen, the king asks, and the excuse is given, and the king is not happy. And part of their plan was how to get that word to David. Jonathan said, you know, I will go out. He takes his servant boy. He goes out, and he'll shoot arrows. And he says, if the arrows fall to the right of where you are hiding, then you'll know that things are okay. But if the arrows go beyond, then you'll know that your life is in danger and you need to flee. And so he carries out that plan and shoots his arrows beyond, making it clear to David that he has to go and flee for his life. And so that is what goes on in this whole chapter 21. In the morning, Jonathan goes out to the field that they had agreed on, and he shoots the arrows. And as soon as the boy is gone, David rises from beside the stone heap where he was hiding. He falls on his face to the ground, and he bows three times. They greet each other. They weep, the friends, Jonathan and David. David weeping the most, the text says. And then Jonathan says, go in peace, because we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord shall be between me and you, and between my offspring and your offspring forever. And he rose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city, and that's how they parted. And in that, you see that for both David and Jonathan, the Lord was at the center of their friendship, at the center of their life. They trusted in the Lord and in his will and what he was doing. And so that's really the big Bible story of these texts that we're looking at this week about David and Jonathan.
It's a much deeper picture of friendship. Really here we're talking about Christian friendship, because it's not just a great historic friendship, but it is in fact a Christian friendship that really surpasses anything that we've got in our nowadays, with, you know, social networking, Facebook friends, those kind of things. This is a kind of friendship that goes far beyond the circumstances that bring two people together. We've got about a minute before we take a break. Your thoughts there, Pam?
Well, that's right. You see a deep bond, and that bond is in Christ, and knowing that God is guiding their lives and God acting here. And, of course, in all of this is God acting to make his plan of salvation come about. And that's why he anointed David to be the king who would be the one out of his line to become the Savior. But you're right, when we look at what we call friendship today and how quickly you can friend somebody and defriend them and like them or not, friendship is very shallow and very kind of non-committal. Well, even when you look at marriage, relationships in general in our culture are very instant, very, very shallow, and very almost, you can cast them away with a moment.
Pam Nielsen is our guest. She's editor of Witness, Mercy, Life Together for the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We'll come back 10 more minutes with her on the Sunday School lesson of the friendship of David and Jonathan. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Over summer, 2.5 months of what a child learned in school can leak away. Call Sylvan to turn summer learning loss into a gain. Sylvan pinpoints exactly what skills your child needs in just 3 hours a week over 12 weeks. You'll see results in your child's math or reading performance improving one grade level guaranteed. Demonstrated through the pre and post assessment. So call now. At participating locations only. Some restrictions may apply. Call for complete guarantee details.
Get 36 hours for $36. Sylvan Learning Center of Edwardsville, 618-656-0500.
No gimmicks, no shticks. Just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at Grace Lutheran Racine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.
Well, Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the friendship of David and Jonathan. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. In about 15 minutes, we're going to talk with Dr. Craig Evans about the reported discovery of the bones of John the Baptist. We'll see if such a thing can even be established with any kind of certainty. That's about 15 minutes from now on Issues Etc. Pam, let's talk about the terms in which the storyteller, the narrator of this story of David and Jonathan puts it, is terms of love. Now, there are those who have, in some perverse way, tried to construe this as something more than friendship. Laying that aside, there's a kind of love and friendship between these two men that can only be between men, as you said before the break, these two men, because they have faith in the promise of God. That's what they share beyond all the other things, because otherwise these guys are not in a position to be friends. They eventually want to be able to see each other.
Yeah, that's right. David's a servant. Jonathan's the son of the king. You know, by cultural standards, they shouldn't even be spending time together. And yet they have this deep, deep friendship, the type of friendship that weeps at the thought of the loss, weeps at the deepness of their love for each other. And these texts about them speak very plainly about what a deep love they have for each other. And the fact that, you know, Jonathan strips his garments and weapons and gives them to David, you know, really gives it reflects this self-giving, the sacrificial friendship that Jonathan wants, learning what his father, the king, intends to do, doesn't side with his father, doesn't sell out his friend, but actually comes to his friend's aid and makes a way for him to escape, and knows that that means that they will have to part for the sake of his friend's life. And, you know, in this, this is not a perfect friendship either, because these are two sinful human beings, but it is a foretaste and a looking forward to the, you know, we talk about what a friend we have in Jesus, and you can be very shallow and laid back about that too, my buddy, my homeboy, you hear all those things. But when you talk about friendship and the kind of love, the self-sacrificing love, there is no greater friend than the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for us, his friends, who took what we deserved, who took the harm that was intended for us because of our sin, the punishment that was deserved by us, and put himself in harm's way on the cross and suffered and died for us, so that we could be children of the King, children of the Heavenly Father, his Heavenly Father. And all of this points to that. All of this is connected to that, because David's life was spared here because David would be the one through whom, on the human side of things, through his family line, would come this Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah, who would be the friend of all in his suffering and death and sacrificial life for us.
Is it too much to say that in Jonathan we have a rather clear, although, you know, we can't say with any specificity here because Scripture doesn't make this connection, but can we at least talk about a connection between Jonathan and Christ, that Jonathan is that rightful son who, in essence, gives his place to us, though
That's
we do
right.
not deserve it?
Yeah, he's a type of Christ. We talk about that in the church. He was the rightful heir to the kingdom, to the throne. His father was the king. And then we look to Christ. He is the rightful heir of heaven. His father is the Heavenly Father, the King of Heaven, the God, eternal. And in Jonathan, we see a picture of that, that he sacrificed, he willingly gave up what was due him by all accounts, and made a way to protect the one who would actually take from him what was his by right. And Christ, in going the way of the cross for us, gives up willingly his life so that we might have life. He gives that up. He takes on the sin of the world. He takes the punishment of God, the wrath of God, so that we don't have to endure that, so that we can become sons of God, and trades place with us, just as Jonathan is willing here to do. So, yes, there's a picture of that, a foretaste. Jonathan is a type of Christ that helps us to better understand who Christ is and what he's done for us. And that really, teachers, is at the heart of this lesson. And yes, we're talking about vocation, and yes, we're talking about friendship, but at the heart of it is the Son of God who trades places with us on the cross so that we might be heirs of the kingdom, as we see in this story of Jonathan and David.
You mentioned before the break that not just the concept, but the actual practice of friendship today, even among Christians, has become, humorously shallow if we stop and think about it. But it is a vocation. You've said that before.
Yeah.
And it's not one that is simply, kind of icing on the cake. It's not some sort of luxury vocation for the Christian. We are all called to this to one degree or another. Some of us may have a wide social net that is cast. Some of us have a very small one. Some of us, like in my case, I would say my closest friend, in the truest sense of the word, has to be my wife. And that's not always true in every marriage, but it certainly is true in mine. Talk about the vocation of friendship that all of us are called to to one degree or another in different places, especially in different levels of maturity in our life.
Well, that's right. And when we talk about vocation, we're talking about serving our neighbor and looking out for his needs. So at the very heart of it, it's not about us, it's about them. And if God has blessed us with a friendship, be it our wife or our buddy on the team or our best girlfriend at school who we share a locker with or our college roommate, whoever that might be, friendship in the biblical sense and the godly sense is it's not a selfish thing. And that runs quite counter to the world where, what's in it for me? And we're very, very tempted and very quick to, on Facebook or in a group of other friends, to give up our friend, make fun of them, gossip about them, whatever, sell them out. And instead of protecting them in every way, their reputation, their life, here as Jonathan does, that's what friendship, the vocation of friendship is, to look after our friend. Certainly we are blessed in that vocation and they are a friend to us. But that's what we're called to look out for their best and to provide for their need if they are the friend that God has given us. And we may have, like you say, many friends, circle of friends, some large, some small, very close friends. And not so close, but in all of that, they're our neighbor, and we look to protect, defend, uphold, support, provide for them, because our friend, our Savior, has already protected, defended, supported, upheld, and provides for us richly and daily every day of our life. And so we're free to be a true friend and care for the friends that God puts in our path.
With only about 30 seconds here, the thing that strikes me the most about David and Jonathan is that these two men could have easily found any excuse, and they were all around them, to be enemies. But they are not. Your thoughts on that with about 30 seconds?
Yeah, that's amazing. It would be the expectation that they would be enemies. And, that's another thing that just runs counter. So often we're quick to defend our rights it all gets around being selfish and looking after ourselves in friendship in this world, and we don't have to. We've already been defended. We've already been given more than we deserve. We already and continually have a God who loves us, who looks after us, who provides for us, and We don't have to worry about getting it for ourselves and hurting someone else or climbing over them to get what we need. And yet, that is the teaching of the world, the practice of the world, and what makes it hard to be a Christian child growing up in this world, to be an adult in the workplace, because all that the world teaches us about friendship and about our lives is that it's about us and getting what we believe we need and think, and it doesn't matter who we hurt or have to step over to get it, and that is completely opposite of God's will for us. He's already taken care of all that we need. And so this story is helps us see that as well, in Jonathan's sacrificial love for his friend David and how that points to Christ who gave all for us, that he could call us friend and call us brothers and sisters and bring us into the family of God.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is editor of Witness, Mercy, Life Together for the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Next week, we'll talk with Pam about the building of the temple. Pam, thanks very much for being our guest.
Thank you. Have a great week.
We base our conversations every week with Pam on the Sunday School curriculum from Concordia Publishing House called Growing in Christ. You can see how every single lesson points forward to Christ. It's not shoehorning something into Scripture that isn't there, simply drawing out of Scripture the message and that signpost, those many signposts that exist all throughout Old and New Testament, pointing to Jesus and his saving work. It's called Growing in Christ. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. They will send you a free sample of Growing in Christ. You can see for yourself, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. In hour two of Issues Etc. on this Wednesday, Dr. Craig Evans will join us. We'll talk about the reported discovery of the bones of John the Baptist.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The latest Issues Etc. journal contains a confession. It's about my problem with the commandment, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. Journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also details Pastor Will Wheaton's journey on the Wittenberg Trail. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. Journal today, issuesetc.org.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.